From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, 12 Republicans betray their party and the future of conservative politics. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Wednesday of this week, the Senate, with the help of 12 Republicans, voted for cloture on the Disrespect for Marriage Act. Here's Tony Perkins as he introduces our first guest.
12 Republican senators joined the Democrats today and voted to limit debate on the intentionally misnamed Respect for Marriage Act, clearing the 60-vote threshold for cloture and paving the way for a simple majority vote on final passage. Now, those 12 senators are as follows: Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr of North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Mitt Romney of Utah, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Todd Young of Indiana. Remember those names. In fact, you can find them at TonyPerkins.com. And you can call them at 202-224-3121. They've sold out. They've sold out people of faith in this country. Mark my word. Write it down. Joining me now to talk about this, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, who did everything he could to try to talk sense into his Republican colleagues. Senator Lee, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to be with you.
You share our concerns in what this measure will do to religious freedom in this country.
Yes. Yes, look, this sets in motion a sequence of events. It's likely to culminate in the removal of tax-exempt status from religious institutions. Religious institutions in particular that harbor or share a religious belief about the definition of marriage and whether they accept same-sex marriage. Look, no one should have to face revocation of tax-exempt status or eligibility to participate in a particular federal program or have access to federal property or programs of one sort or another. It should never be conditioned on the basis of the acceptance of government orthodoxy or of a particular religious orthodoxy. This is what this bill does. It sets that in motion. Coupled with other civil rights laws and Supreme Court precedents, this will accelerate the march toward that we know has been happening at least since Obergefell, when Justice Alito questioned then Solicitor General Donald Varelli about whether it might have that effect. And he said three times, yes, that's going to be an issue, Justice Alito. We don't deny that it's going to be an issue. So this accelerates that. And if we're going to pass something that accelerates it, the least we can do is enact that legislation with an amendment that says the government may not do that. Now, the sponsors of this bill have rejected my amendment to do precisely that. They've instead adopted another amendment that appears on its face to do something like that, but really doesn't. This is smoke and mirrors, Tony.
Right.
This is a shell game that ends in the destruction and erosion, but ultimately the destruction of religious liberty in America. We can't have that.
Senator, I mean, you're a constitutional expert, and as you pointed out, the amendment or the amended language that they put forward it reminds me of President Obama's executive order on Obamacare that was supposed to protect against taxpayer funding of abortion. It was a fig leaf. It was false. It was proven to be false. This, yes. even if it were legitimate, it is very limited in its scope in that it only deals with religious liberty for institutions as it pertains, as I read it, as it pertains to the actual act of marriage. And correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, but the First Amendment is not to institutions, it's for individuals. We all have a freedom of religion in this country.
That's right. It belongs to each of us, not just to institutions. And it belongs to each of us and our institutions in ways that extend far beyond the performance of marriage or the provision of a marriage covenant. This is something that's really lost on a lot of Americans these days as our society becomes more secular. People are accepting the idea that our religious liberties extend no further than the four corners of the church or the synagogue. And that simply isn't true. The other thing that happens is that when the will of a secular society becomes hostile to religious pluralism, to the acceptance of religious minority beliefs, everyone suffers as a result. That's exactly what's happening here. Now, look, I understand not everyone shares my view, my religious view, that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. I understand. I can accept that. And I can accept the idea of the government not discriminating for or against any type of religious institution based on their particular religious beliefs about marriage.
Right.
What I can't accept is the government picking winners and losers on the basis of who adheres to a particular favored religious orthodoxy and punishing those that don't adhere to that. That's exactly what this bill is doing. And it's doing so in a way that purports, because of this Section 7A, this fig leaf, as you put it, this fig leaf of a religious freedom protection, it doesn't actually do what they claim that it right. does.
Does this not also provide for a private right of action where you can see people using this as leverage to go against people who fail to fall in line with this new orthodoxy?
Yeah, it does contain a private right of action. Now, people can disagree as to how much damage that private right of action could do. I'm personally less worried about the private right of action feature of it than I am about the fact that this opens the door potentially to the revocation of tax-exempt status on right. the basis of religious doctrine. We can never allow that to happen, and yet we're marching in precisely that direction with this bill. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm hoping. Look, this was an initial procedural vote. An initial procedural vote to bring debate to a close on whether to proceed to this piece of legislation. We've got several other votes that still have to take place. There's still time. I hope, I believe that several of these 12 Republican senators who voted this way, most of whom I believe have been deceived into thinking that the religious freedom protection actually did what the sponsors of the bill, some of them are claiming that it does. I'm hoping they can see the light between now and when the final vote is cast, and we can stop this thing, because it will be a bad day for America.
But Senator, correct me if I'm wrong, this was really the high threshold for the bill, the 60-vote cloture vote to move forward. Is there another 60-vote threshold, or is it?
Yes.
There
is. There will be a total of three 60-vote threshold votes on this one.
Okay.
There will be subsequent cloture votes on this one, two more. So my hope is that on one of those, hopefully the next 60-vote cloture vote that we cast on this, we will have at least three of these 12 Republicans looking more closely at it and saying, yeah, you know what? I got taken for a ride on this one. I got sold a bill of goods. They tried to sell me a bridge, and I bought it. But look, Republicans are smarter than that. These 12 Republicans are smarter than that, and I hope they'll come around.
So there is time and the possibility of this being stopped.
There's still time. There's still a possibility of it being stopped. All within the sound of your voice and your program, Tony, need to understand what's really at risk here. And if they've got the ear of any U.S. senator, particularly any U.S. senator who cast a yes vote on the Republican side of the aisle for this today, please reach out to them. Yeah. We share your concern. And please make clear that the American people need to be free. And they can't truly be free unless their souls are free with religious freedom. This bill undermines that and needs to be stopped.
Senator Mike Lee, I want to thank you for joining us today. But I also want to thank you, because I know you and I have had many conversations. I want to thank you for being a staunch defender of religious freedom in this country.
Thank you, Tony.
You can find out more about Mike Lee when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
Throughout Scripture, there is a warning to believers that they will be persecuted. It isn't a question of if, but when. Which is why Pastor Andrew Brunson, a man familiar with persecution for his faith, led the 8-part video series, Prepare to Stand. This series shares some of the lessons Brunson learned on staying faithful during his imprisonment and was created to help Christ followers prepare for hostility and persecution. Watch this important series by going to frc.org/preparetostand.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us on this Thursday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we've discussed this. The Republicans will control the House of Representatives in the next 118th Congress. Now, that begins January the 3rd, but until then, we have a lame duck session in progress. Now, some say, what's a lame duck session of Congress? It's lame, for one. It's a very, very, very dangerous period of time. See, what you have in this two-month period, you have a group that is not coming back, all right? They're going to either, some are retiring, they've been defeated in their elections, and so they're voting on policy that is going to affect the country going forward, but they're not going to be held accountable for it. And that's what we actually saw yesterday in the Senate. Roughly half, I think it was six of the 12 Republicans who voted for this so-called Respect for Marriage Act are retiring. They're not coming back. And so they've launched this attack on religious freedom and parental rights. So the next, I'm going to give you an update here in just a moment on where that stands. It's not over, okay? It's not over. And you've got to be involved in this. I'm telling you, there is so much at risk here. So if you want to join us in protecting religious freedom and our children from this indoctrination that we've seen over the last 7 years in public school classrooms, then I need you to text the word DUCK, D-U-C-K, to 67742. That's 67742. The word DUCK. We'll get you a link. That way you can communicate with your two senators. We need you to contact them because right now this game is in the Senate, and they will vote on this after Thanksgiving. We were able to, our allies in the Senate, doing all that they can to buy more time so that you can speak to your senators and convince them not to be a part of this attack on religious freedom. Joining now to talk about this, give us the latest, is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs. Travis, welcome back.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. So just as a refresher, give us the we're going to focus on the 12 Republicans. Who were the 12 Republicans?
Yeah. So we've got Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Joni Ernst, Roy Blunt, Tom Tillis, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, Richard Burr, Shelley Moore Capito, Cynthia Lummis, Dan Sullivan, and Todd Young, who all voted in support of this bill.
OK, so if you missed that, it's at TonyPerkins.com. But it was very clear by senators, I played a clip of Senator Lankford earlier, that the so-called protections for religious freedom are they're fake.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad, you know, looking at what they try to claim is protection for religious freedom. It lists off educational institutions, religious institutions, but then says only in the solemnization or performance of a marriage, merely performing them in these places, the only thing protected. I mean, this is aside from the point, this is already constitutionally protected. So they're trying to say this is religious freedom. It's not religious freedom, as we've discussed. It leaves out individuals, businesses, and all these entities in the context of anything else that violates their belief that marriage, this is not marriage.
So it's a fluid process, but give us the status as best as we know right now.
Yeah, so as best as we know, Senator Mike Lee is doing a great job explaining this is unacceptable. This does not protect religious freedom. So he's trying to say, hey, let me help you protect religious freedom in this bill. As he works on this, we might see more of a delay in the process, and people in this, at this time, we can still make a difference. People can still let their senators know they need to see this fixed with Senator Lee's provisions and the way he would want to see this fixed. Until that process works its way out, the game is not over. At some point, though, we're going to see a final vote on the bill or an attempt to salvage it with this religious liberty amendment.
So folks, what Senator Lee is attempting to do is to say to his Republican colleagues, look, don't vote on the next vote. There'll be another vote on this bill, another 60-vote threshold vote. And he's saying, don't vote for this until my amendment, which we have worked with him on his amendment, it is pretty much watertight when it comes to religious freedom, both for institutions and individuals. Doesn't make the bill a good bill, but it does protect religious freedom. Here's the deal. I don't think the Democrats will go for it.
because they don't want to protect religious freedom. And that's what Senator Lankford said on the floor, is that this was not an oversight. This is intentional. And that's why we have to have these protections. So you need to talk with your senators and tell them not to vote for this bill until Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, his amendment is adopted in the Senate. And by the way, I would encourage you to be praying for Senator Lee. I've talked with him multiple times. This is a real spiritual battle that's raging over this issue.
Yeah, because Tony, there's a lot that hangs on the protection of religious freedom, and we have some leaders who want to stand up and hang the mantle of that over their shoulders, and they're really undermining it. And that's what we're seeing.
Like Senator Tillis in North Carolina is one.
Yeah,
I'm going to call out names.
And him and others have said, we're protecting it. They're really not. They're undermining it. They're actually discarding it and throwing a lot of people under the bus in the process who need this protection.
And I will tell you, I am shocked, and I'm not going to say anything publicly. I haven't said privately. I'm really disappointed in Senator Roy Blunt, a longtime friend. In fact, the chair, he was one of the first chairs of the VAT committee as he came over from the House to the Senate. I've worked with him for years, since for 20 years. Yeah. Very disappointing, because he has been a defender of these things. So this is very shocking.
This is a values issue. It's a values vote. And you cannot support this bill and claim to support values.
Yeah. So, folks, you really need to weigh in on this. This is, we don't. For those who listen, you know that we don't. We're not Chicken Little here. We don't run around screaming that the sky is falling. And you can go back and you can look at our track record when we've issued a warning. It has been legitimate and it's been right on target. Probably the only time we've fallen short is maybe we were not as precise in the timing. It's actually happened quicker. The decline has happened quicker than we projected. You've got to weigh in on this. Travis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, text the word DUCK to 67742, DUCK to 67742, so you can help us defend religious freedom and parental rights. Coming up next, churches, conservative churches doing ballot harvesting efforts made the difference in places like New York and California. We're going to be joined by the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee next. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Today, finding a trustworthy news source is harder than ever. That is why Family Research Council created The Washington Stand, an online daily news outlet that provides news and commentary on the most crucial issues of the day, all written from a biblical worldview. Find reliable reporting at WashingtonStand.com so that you know how to stand firm in the midst of the challenges of our day. Again, stay informed by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. I know sometimes we get caught up in the jargon here of D.C. We mentioned VAT. That's the Values Action Team. That's the committee that both the House and the Senate have those that focus on values issues. And I mentioned Senator Blunt brought the VAT concept, the Values Action Team concept that we had in the House, over to the Senate, which was what made his vote yesterday extremely disappointing. All right, it took a week and a half, but the House of Representatives was officially called for the Republican Party yesterday. So after any election, it's always wise for a party to assess its performance. What went well? Where can improvements be made? What were the winning messages? Well, joining me now to talk about this and more is Ronna McDaniel. She is the chair of the Republican National Committee. Ronna, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Tony.
So finally, it took a while, but the race was called, and the Republicans now have enough seats to claim control, the majority, in the 118th Congress. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, we finally have enough seats. There are still seats that we don't have the results for in California and Colorado, but we did retire Nancy Pelosi, and she actually just said today she's not going to seek leadership. This is the outcome we intended, and we now have a check on Joe Biden in the House of Representatives, and you're already seeing them get to work with this investigation of President Biden and some of the financial interests he had with his son that compromised, it looks like, his interests in our, and maybe our country, that we need to get to the bottom of. So this is great. It's great news. And we took back the House.
Rana, I've been saying since election night when we saw these results that we are a divided nation. We're clearly divided. When you look at these races, and what that means in part is that every vote counts. I mean, some of these races, as you said, are still being counted. We've just gotten enough seats to the Republicans have gotten enough seats to take the majority in the House. But there's still races that are outstanding. And many of them are just being decided by a handful of votes. What were some of the difference makers in these close races?
Well, Tony, you hit on it. You know, after 2020, we saw a shift in how people voted. And Democrats became more mail-in and early voting and ballot harvesting. And Republicans really wanted to only vote on Election Day. And that's an issue, because if they have a month to harvest votes, and we say, oh, we want to hold everything to Election Day, it makes it harder for operatives to go turn out the vote on Election Day. So in states like California, where they've had ballot harvesting and the Republican Party has trained voters, yes, we do have to ballot harvest. We have to compete with the Democrats. The only way we can is if we're doing this day in and day out for the whole time they are, we can win. And that's where you see a big win like Mike Garcia in a Dem district, right? I mean, you see a big win like Young Kim and Michelle Steele and maybe Duarte. So we have to be doing these things long term. But we do have people in our party still saying, oh, don't vote any other day but Election Day. I'm not a lawmaker. I'd say state lawmakers should have voter ID, get rid of ballot harvesting, and try and condense the election period. We should probably vote on one day, Election Day, not have an election month. But where they have it, we have to do it. And we've got to get good at it.
I think the best way to get the election back, as you pointed out, I agree with you 100%. We ought to have an election day, not election month. We should have people casting their ballots. If they have a legitimate reason that they can't get to the poll, make accommodations for that. But the best way to get there is use the rules that many of the Democrats have set up. Because if you get better at it than they are, they'll want to get rid of it.
Exactly. And that's what happened in California. Tony, you're exactly right. In 2018, we lost all these House races. All the results were trickling in. Young Kim lost 3 weeks after the election, right? This year, it's different. And why is that? We're actually picking up seats as the vote totals go on because we figured it out. And we have to do that. And you're right. The Democrats are probably going to throw that out and find some new law. But we have to use the laws on the books. We have to use it like they are. And I do think we've got to get away from only vote on Election Day. Don't vote early. You know, I was telling people, Go vote early in person, vote absentee, and then sign up to be a poll watcher.
I did the same thing. I voted early and encouraged people to do so. So, number one, that they're free to vote, are free to engage in the process by being a poll watcher on Election Day. And you never know what could happen that might prevent you from voting. By the way, I just want to commend you on the work on encouraging and promoting poll watching, which really brought back a sense of confidence into the election as people had a greater sense that their ballot was going to be secure and it was going to be counted. That combined with what we saw in about two dozen states with voter reform efforts, I think really helped keep the turnout up.
Oh, thank you, Johnny. I think it was critical that this is the first time the RNC has been able to do this in 40 years. So we actually had poll workers and poll watchers that we've recruited. And again, that helps people feel comfortable voting early because they know we have people at the absentee counting voting centers watching their ballots. And this is part of people feeling safe and that the election's fair and transparent. So we want to continue this. This is going to be a critical role for the RNC going forward.
I think it was huge. Let's talk a little bit about messaging, because there were some that said, and I'm going to jump right into it. Some said that the in the post-Dobbs world, where all of a sudden Republicans were forced to talk about abortion, that was a liability for Republicans. And no question about it. I think it did fuel the younger vote, the 18 to 24 vote, that combined with the president pledging to eradicate their student debt, that fueled them to turn out. But Republicans who understood this message of life were really able to use that, I think, to their benefit. And let me rephrase that. I don't mean to say they were using it, but they were able to take it and not it was not a negative for them. It was a positive because they articulated a pro-life position.
Yeah, so we've been a pro-life party for a long time, and then suddenly we get the overturn of Roe v. Wade and returning it back to the states, but we didn't have that muscle memory to talk about why we're pro-life. And then you had Democrats putting millions and millions of dollars basically in lies and scare tactics trying to make this the big issue. And I think candidates who stuck their head in the sand and didn't address the issue at all, it didn't do good for them. But candidates who said, yeah, I'm pro-life, I'm proud to be pro-life. But look at the Democrats. Therefore, due date gender-selected abortions. They're fine if your daughter or my daughter doesn't exist just because she's a girl or a young woman. That's where you put them on the defensive, that they have no limits. And then you talk about other issues as well. And candidates who were able to put the Democrats on the defensive did well. But Democrats were going to make it an issue no matter what. And it wasn't something that we could ignore. And it was a great opportunity to talk about being pro-life and how proud we are of that.
You know, speaking of the party platform, I was just talking about this a moment ago. We had 12 Republican senators voted yesterday to move forward on the misnamed Respect for Marriage Act, which directly contradicts the Republican Party's official platform. I know that the court in Obergefell redefined marriage, but the party platform's been pretty clear on this.
Yeah, I haven't seen all the legislation, but it's concerning to me too on the religious liberty front. But I've heard from some other legislators who are deeply concerned that in the name of doing a couple other things that weren't really urgent, we might be stripping away religious liberties. And that's really frightening that these protections were not ingrained in this bill and really will weaken and erode religious freedom. So I think we need to be on the lookout for that. I don't know if there's anything that can be done. I think it's in the House today, and then we'll go back to the Senate.
Senator Mike Lee is still working on trying to get his colleagues to support a real amendment to the bill that would protect those religious liberties, as you talked about, and he's been a stalwart on religious liberty. But it not only is religious liberty, it also is an attack on parental rights, which, by the way, is an area that we saw great success in this election as parents got involved trying to protect their children from indoctrination. Ron, I want to thank you. You've been very generous with your time. Always great to see you. And again, just want to commend you for your leadership at the RNC.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.